Okay, thanks, Ron, and it's good to have to be back on tonight, and it's good to have you with us, and may the Lord bless you for the time that you spend in His Word with us tonight. We're still in Ezekiel 36. We wanted to do Ezekiel 36 and 37 at least before we got out of the book, and in our study on walking, and you know, God is now giving us a little eye view of the hope of coming back and giving Ezekiel the words to give to these people that have been carried away into exile about the situation about coming back, whether they get to come back or whether their children get to come back or even their grandchildren. And so here in Ezekiel 36, we started off a few weeks ago, and we've missed some because of the holiday period here, and then again last week because Mama Ann wasn't doing well. But this is study 114 in our study of walk. Study 114, and this is, of course, the 11th day of 2017. And we're dealing here, the very first part of chapter 36, going back and giving you a little reminder, is dealing with Israel's restoration. The land, he talks about the land, to the land, and also the people of Israel concerning the land. And it's broken down into the first part of the chapter was broken down, and we went through this. Verses 1 through 3, God was saying what the enemy said, or what the people that had left, had been carried away in the land, had said. And then we went to verse 4 through 12 on what Jehovah purposed with the land, and also to understand His love for the land. And His love for the land is great, because when you go back to creation and you go back and talk about creation, the creation was done from the will of God, and the Son did the creating. And the creating here, and the land, and where you and I live, basically was cut and carved or brought from the Son of God. And so God would have all the reason in the world to still consider this as being part of God's greatness because of where it came from. And not only did He create it, but He made the agreement with the Son of God to come back and to redeem it, even before it was found in the shape that we've all got it into. And so guess what? So not only did creation come from the Lord, also redemption came from the Lord. And I very seldom hear that in any kind of sermon or any kind of thing that you find on television or on the radio or even in the pulpit. And I'd be the first to admit I haven't been to too many pulpits like you, but I still think about this all the time, and to realize, and we all need to realize the fact that God not only created it, but He allows us to be here, and He makes provisions for what the earth brings to us in the form of food, clothing, and the things that we use for shelter. You know, when God sent Adam away, he sent him away telling him he'd have to work by the sweat of his brow. And he sent him away with food and clothing. He killed skins of the animals and made the clothing. But he didn't give him the shelter, because you see, everything that man needed to make the shelter with was already out there.
He just had to put forth
the effort to get it and to make it useful in that situation. So yeah, let's think about this, and then we need to think about what the people that God made the agreement with, what they did down through history there with their wickedness and their slothfulness and their dealings with false gods and all these things. And God said, you know, you've polluted my land, you've polluted everything you've touched. And so that's the reason he sent them away. And he sent them away for a period of time. For this, whatever it was, the 70 years they owed him or whatever. So the earth really became a point of restoration in God's mind for it to be restored again and to be cleaned. It was like a new cleaning or a new baptism, and then he was going to bring it back. So we left off last time at the end of verse 12 of Ezekiel 36, and we're going to pick up now with 13, and we're going to deal again with what the enemy said, or what was said. And God's going to deal with that in the situation in 14 and 15. And then after you get through 15, then he starts with the people, the children of Israel. So, here again, the Word of God has made a turn here in the situation of saying, okay, when you come back, you know, this is the expectation. This is what we're going to do. So, let's pick it up with 13. And go on with there. That kind of brings us back up to a point of beginning again. 13 says, thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men and hast bereaved thy nations. So in 13, it says, they saith, or because they say. And this is what the enemy says. And they say it unto you, to the people that came out of my land, to the Israelites. It says, thou land devourest up men and hast bereaved thy nations, or hast made childish the people of nations, because God's judgment has been declared on peoples of different nations in different ways, different things. But let's turn back to where it says the land devours up men. Where does that get us? Let's go to Numbers chapter 13 and look at verse 32. This is on page 199, if you have a companion Bible. And let me see if I can find it. I've got so many places marked in my Bible, I have time getting there. Okay. What did we say? Numbers 13. And we're going to look at verses 32. So let's go back to 31. And this is where they sent the spies out. It said in 30, and Caleb, I'm sorry, "Still the people before Moses said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" So Caleb said, "Oh, we can take it. We can take it." "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." You see, it was an outcropping of the children of one of the giants, Anak, that, you know, they saw, and they said, you know, "We can't do it. We just can't do it." So this is where they get the idea that the land devours the men, that there are men there that we can't do anything with. It's beyond, we're beyond help. And they have just left God, literally, down standing by the wayside in that situation. They have looked and seen, and in their own mind, there's just no way that they could overcome
this. No faith to do this.
They're faithless. And this is way back. You know, this is way back. It's not, that far down through time, you know. But we realize that it's way back. And of course, maybe the giants, and their copulation with the women of men, created a situation to where a lot of these people were, in a sense, childless, that they couldn't, some way perform in their own man. I don't know. When he talks about it has bereaved thy nations there, you know, when you look at these things, it talks about it again in 14. And so 14 and 15 gives us a little bit of understanding of what Jehovah has proposed, because Jehovah is going to tell us in 14 and 15 in the situation of the restoration of the people and the land of Israel and Judah, that he has a plan, and so the plan is going to continue on. So it says, "Therefore," in 14. So we see the word in the very beginning of that verse is "therefore." And let's go ahead and read the whole chapter, and then the whole verse, and we'll get into it. It says, "Thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations anymore, saith the Lord God." And so 14 here gives us, in the companion part, where it says bereaved, and it says the Hebrew text reads causes to fall, but the margin reads make childless. So it says some codices with three early printed editions, the Aramaic, the Septuagint, and the Vulgate reads make childless in the text and the margin. So there's a situation going on there that maybe we don't fully understand, and I'm not here to give you an answer to that, but at least to make you aware of it. So let's go back to 14 and look at this a little bit. Therefore, has a lot of different meanings, and this is one. It means so now, or to set things upright. So here God is saying to the land that things are going to be set upright again. And so if he says that, then evidently there's going to be a situation where these giants are going to lose favor and also their life. And kind of in the way I see it. So it says, if you're going to set things right, it says, thou shalt devour men no more. Talking about the land or the things that are in the land. And then you got what he's saying here, that you're not going to devour Adam's seed anymore. Neither bereave thy nations anymore, saith the Lord God. So, or to make child, if you go back, to make childish the people of other nations anymore. And this is, saith the Lord God. This is Adonai Jehovah, Jehovah's oracle, concerning the land here, because when he brings the people back, they're not going to have, evidently, they're not going to have the same problems that they had in the beginning when they went in and spied out the land. And of course, they conquered part of the land, but they never conquered all of it the way that they were supposed to have done. Down through the times, you know, and they've had problems, but nevertheless, here again, God is going to set things upright again. And he said in verse 15, neither will I cause men to hear in the shame of the heathen anymore, neither shall thou rebear the reproach of the people anymore, neither shall thou cause thy nations to fall anymore, saith the Lord God. So he says, neither will I cause men to hear in thee, in the land. What was they hearing in the land? They was hearing in the land the things that they saw that they thought that they couldn't overcome, or that God could not overcome it. So there was no hope here. They were showing despair, and all because of the evil seed that had been planted there, or had been put there in that situation. And so they says he wasn't going to cause men of the foreign lands to hear the shame of the heathen anymore. The disgrace of the nations is going to cease. because these people were the people of God, and they shouldn't be saying these things, because they should have every hope in the world because of their God. And it says, neither shall thou or the land bear the shamefulness of the people anymore. And the reproach there is what you see in your Bible. But if you look, it is shamefulness. It is 2781. And that's Kehurphal. A reproach. It means in a sense of shamefulness. Because not only did the children of Israel having to leave their home, having to leave their homeland, and having to be overtaken by others that God allowed them to be overtaken with, and they were still talking against God even in their travels and in their doings in other places where they had been carried to. And God said, that's not going to happen anymore. You're not going to do. Neither shall thou or the land cause thy nations to fall or to stumble anymore, saith the Lord God, or Adonai Jehovah. So, he was going to stop all this evil speaking concerning God and God's name and concerning God and God's land, because we got to remember that God's land came from the Son of God. And so then we get down to the people's situation here that in Ezekiel 36, because verses 16 through 28 deals with Israel, with God's people. They were, he sent them away, and a lot of them were killed, and a lot of them were taken care of, and by different means of fire and the sword and famine and pestilence and all these things, but some of them did get carried away. And in verses 16 and 17 here deals with Israel's uncleanness. They're still in exile and they're still unclean. In God's eyes, they're unclean. So look at 16. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, where in the world have we heard that? Moreover, in other words, I bear record of the word I heard of the Lord, I, Ezekiel, it came unto me speaking. Or saying, and this is what it said in 17. It says, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it. They defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanliness of a removed woman. Now, we went over some of this just recently in our studies concerning the blood and so forth that was going on in the whoredoms with the people of Israel that were dealing with people that were coming and going from there. And it was great. And of course, Son of Man here leads off the verse of Scripture. And in our study, this is the 44th time that we've looked at this. And Jehovah is telling to Ezekiel Remember, Ezekiel, you are the son of Adam. You descended from Adam, this fallen one. Okay? It says, when the house or the nation of Israel dwelt or lived in, let's go to on their own given soil. Because God had given these people their own soul. You know, we go back and we read that when he brought them out of Egypt and they crossed through the Red Sea and they spent 40 years in the wilderness, of which they should have made the trip in 3 weeks. The probation time that God required was 40 years. And so when the 40 years was up, you know, they got down to the River Jordan and God says, okay, are you with me? Yeah, when we cross over, are you there? Into the promised land. And of course, at that time, Moses was dead. But if you remember, there was what, 2.5 tribes that stayed on the other side of Jordan, but they were required to come and help fight or to help overtake the land that was going to be given to them. And so, you know, when I listen to these people fuss and go on with each other about Palestine and Israel and so on, and it's over there now, it seems like nothing has really changed over all these hundreds of thousands of years. We're still dealing with who's on what bank of the river or the wherever, you know, whatever it is. So it says, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, or on their own land, given soil, they defiled it. They contaminated it. And the word there is 2930 in the Strong's, and it means, or it's pronounced, as far as I can tell, Ptolemy in the English. They defiled it. They contaminated it by their own rule, their own ways. It wasn't the ways of God that caused the contamination. It was by what they wanted to do themselves without God. Okay. So that's the situation. By their own rule, when somebody gets the feeling that, you know, they can do what they want to, and they can just do whatever they feel is good, quite often in the eyes of God, it's not. And quite often, the consequences are pretty great. So let's read on. By their own ways or their own rule, and, okay, here's the and, here's the tie-in, and by their own doing. So they had their own rule, and they also had unlawful connections. They were getting these unholy idols and things that these people were bringing in from all over the world, and say, you know, this is the latest thing. This is it. This is what we got. This, you know, and so these unlawful connections. Because of living the way they were, was going on before the eyes of God. And it says, their ways, and here, their ways, and a lot of this stuff doesn't change very much down through the ages. It says, their own ways, their manner of life, let's just put that there, and we'll underline it, their own way or their manner of life, their walk, was before me, Jehovah, as the uncleanliness or the blood issue of a removed woman. What are we talking about here? Well, let's go back and look. Turn with me back to Leviticus. I want to go to two places in Leviticus, 15:9 and 18:9. Let's see. On page 154. Okay. Talking about a man that would have an issue. In 4 it says, every bed whereon he lieth, he had the issue is unclean, and everything where he sitteth be unclean. And talking about touching his bed and what he sat on. And verse 9 says this, and what saddle soever he rideth upon that hath the issue shall be unclean. And so we see not only does it deal with woman, but it also deals with man. Now in Leviticus 18, let me find it here. In Leviticus 18, let's look again about the same place. In that chapter, it talks about keeping the statutes and judgment. And if which a man do, he'll live in them. Verse 6, none of you approach to any that is near or kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt not thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness they shall not uncover. And it goes on and on to talk about the nakedness and, of course, the unlawful lust that goes along with that, and concerning the issues that go with all of these things is what they're dealing with in verse 17 of Ezekiel 36 is the uncleanliness of a removed woman or one that is not allowed to go into the temple at times, and all these things that deals with the issues that come upon Eve, with what she did, in the garden and with the child, and with the deal of childhood, childbearing. And, it gets to be a pretty big situation if you get into it as far as I'm concerned and looking, because, Barney brought it up in his study, this past Sunday morning, and he was talking a little bit about Cain and Abel and the firstborn. and we realized that Cain was born first. We also realized that Cain was the first man to shed blood. So that's another first that always followed him down through his life. And we sometimes don't mention that. But Abel, of course, was the one that was slain. But Abel's offering was accepted by God. And it was almost kind of like the same thing with Esau and Jacob, you know, that Esau had sold his birthright, which was, according to some doctors, even in this day and age, is written that said Esau had a blood sugar situation. And that he was, felt like that he wasn't going to make it if he didn't get the proper food to be brought out of that, be brought out of that situation. But nevertheless, Abel, if you go back and look in the English, Abel's name was Habal. And the word Habal in its original form means temporary. And so you don't ever catch God unprepared, because it was understood that Abel was not going to be around very long. And guess what? It says Cain became wroth, and his countenance fell. It was the direct opposite, the exact opposite of love. And so Cain showed within his own self, I think, the situation of where he came from. Now that, you can agree or not agree, but that's the conclusion down through the ages, that down through my lifetime that I've come to, that Cain showed the world at this point that he was, that his heart and all was not in the right place, regardless of what he presented to God. And and I think more than one time it speaks of him being of, you are of your father the devil. So, having said that, we'll carry on. I wanted to bring that up because I thought it was something that when we look at the land and when we look at where it came from and who brought it up forth, and then we look at the Lord and we see that what he was asked to do to redeem it and to redeem man and to restore things back to its originality as far as God is concerned, yeah, it's very important. All these things are important. So we get down to 18. It says in 18, wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. So this was what God said in 18, or what he told Ezekiel to say. Wherefore, 36:51, and the word there in the English is Cain, like K-A-N-E, Cain. And it means to sit upright and just. Okay? He said, in order to set it upright and just, I poured my fury upon them, or I brought judgment against them. For the blood, or the blood issue that they had shed, or that they had allowed to be spilled upon the land or the soil that was given by me to them. Does that make sense? Sure it does. And for their dirty idols. And you got here, we've got here a word for with. And I might not say this in present company, but I'm gonna give you the Strong's number is 834. And wherewith is in connection to. And the word there is Asher. A-S-H-E-R. And my granddaughter named her young son, he's about 3 months old now, Asher. So it is wherewith or a connection. That's what Asher means. Okay. Wherewith they had polluted it. See, the connection that they had with God and with the land was pollution. They had not done what he had given. He gave it to them, but they hadn't done with it what they supposed to have done with it. They had polluted it. They had contaminated it. And in the eyes of God, whatever it brought forth was not worth anything.
Yeah. Can't get good from the bad like that.
You know, so if God is going to provide you with a land, and he's going to provide you with the fruits of the land, he doesn't want it to be contaminated when he provides it for you. But the people had done that. So their connection with the land and everything that goes with it, dealing with the blood issue and the idols, had caused it to be not what God intended for it to be to begin with. And that's pretty clear. It should be at least fairly clear that we might be able, you know, to understand that. And of course, wherewith there has been added. So, I don't know the situation there, but when I looked at it, I said, gee, did Nikki go back and look at what it really meant? Because sometimes when you're taking names out of scripture,
you gotta be careful which one you pull.
You need to go back and do a little research on it at least to get it. That's okay. We'll take care of that. So they had contaminated it, and because they had contaminated it, we get to verse 19. And so Ezekiel speaking for Jehovah says, and I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their ways and according to their doings. I judged them. So, he said, and I scattered them among the heathen. Well, when he's talking about scattering them, if you look it up, the word scattered there, you're going to find three different parts concerning this situation with Israel and God clearing out the land and cleaning the land. And it talks about three parts. One was by the sword, one was by famine, and the other was by pestilence. And so, and I think, you know, if you went to the fourth, you could go on and also say that God's fire did a lot of this too. So he said, I scattered them among the heathen. But the ones he scattered, evidently quite a lot of them, you know, got done in by different situations, either on their way or after they got to where they were going to go. It says, I scattered them among the heathens according to their being judged. And they were dispersed, or they were allowed there to be taken.
Is that referring to the periods?
Huh?
You think that's referring to the times that they were given over to the various kings back during Judges?
Could have been part of it, yeah. See, they went to different places in the known world. God allowed them. He scattered them out because, you see, their deal was to give knowledge of God to the countries of the world, or to the heathens
channel
of the world.
Blessing, yeah.
They were going to be a channel of blessing. Well, if you get them all grouped up in one group, then they're not going to be very much of a channel of blessing to any others, unless they come in, unless the nations come to them. And so that wasn't working out. That didn't work in and around Jerusalem, in and around the temple area, in and around all the places, especially with the tribe of Judah. And it just wasn't, you know, it just didn't go. And so they were carried off to the different places in the known world. It said, according to their ways and according to their doings, I judged them. Now, we talked about their ways and their doings, their rule, and their unlawful connections that they had with the rest of the world, and the trafficking and the dealing in things that they shouldn't have been involved in that situation. But while we're here, I'd like for you to turn back with me to Ezekiel 7, because we didn't read this. We didn't go over this, I don't think. But let's go back to Ezekiel 7. And let's look at verses 1 through 9, because if we'd just been going straight through it, maybe we'd forgotten about it by now, but we're going to look at it now. And I didn't include this son of man here in this, because, you know, we're going back and kind of bringing ourselves up to speed here. But it said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, also thou, son of man, or son of Adam, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, and in, the end is come up upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come up upon thee, and I will send mine anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense unto thee all thine abominations. And mine eyes shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am. Here's that word again, I am. The same word that when Moses stood before the bush that burned, and he says, who am I going to say sent me? And the answer was, I am sent thee. I am the Lord. Okay? Thus saith the Lord God, an evil and only evil, behold, is come. An end is come. The end is come. It watches for thee. Behold, it is come. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come, the day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and accomplish mine anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, for thy rule, and I will recompense thee for all thine abominations, or your unlawful connections. So that was verse 19, and we go back and see the ramifications that come to that. And so 19 says, again, I scattered them among the heathen. They were dispersed through the countries according to their ways and their doings. He said, I judged them. He did. And he had every right to do that.
So I could judge them according to their own laws and standards.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, let's get to 20 and then maybe if our time is getting away from us. And he says, when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said unto them. Now, listen to this. We're finally getting down here to them profaning God's name, which he's not going to allow. These are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. This is what they said. These are the people of the Lord. They looked around and said, yeah, all these people you see here, they're the Lord's people. He chose them. And all are gone forth out of his land. Okay, verse 20. So you see, whenever they were sent away, and when they entered or came by force unto the nations or the heathen, the Israelites we're talking about here, it says, whither they went, being dispersed, they profaned my holy name. Now we got to go back. Okay, let's go back to Leviticus 19 again. We were at Leviticus 18 a while ago. So, Leviticus, page 160. So, Leviticus 19, we want to go to verse 11. So, Leviticus 19, we're going to read 11 through 16. It says, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely. Neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am. Here it is again. Yep. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shall thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. So what really got God's anger more so than anything else was the lie. The lie, because they went and they said, no, these are God's chosen. You know. And it says, and these are the people gone forth out of his land. Well, it wasn't his land. He had given them their land. And they contaminated it. And they got it so unfruitful that God was ashamed to say, I provided it for you. But it wasn't his land anymore. It was their land. He says, when they said, unto them, when the Israelites said unto the nations or the heathens, these are the people of the Lord. We are the chosen of Jehovah and are gone forth out of his land. So what they're saying is that we have come to you out of our land. And that is the lie. They were sent out of their land by their own doing. It was not the will of God that be. It was their own doing. It was their own rule that got them in trouble and their own unlawful connections. They gave them the situation that they were in. And a lot of these folks had already died. They had already bit the dust. You know, Ezekiel's own wife was caught up in that. And she died. You remember we went over that in that situation. So we'll pick up with 21 next time. It's getting on down in toward 9:30. And I'll put a little mark in my notes here to start next. And we'll pick up with this situation about the lie. And God certainly is going to clear his name. He doesn't really like the people going from place to place and telling a story about why they're there and not giving the full report of what's going on. And so he's gonna straighten that up while he's doing the speaking here. So I didn't know how far we'd get today. I've got a couple more pages of notes, but I'm pretty sure that I wasn't going to get that far into the study because of the where we went back and looked at other places that give us kind of a glimpse or a picture of why and what was going on and why it was done. So, it was their manner of life. And the manner of life continued on with the lie. Even dealing with the people that they were under, they were still lying to the people as to why they were there, and didn't give a full explanation, but they laid it upon God instead of upon themselves.
That's classic them, though.
They never
took responsibility for it.
Yeah, are we so far removed? No, our 2,000 years hasn't got us
where it has.
Yeah, in that case, it really hasn't. So I thank you for being with us tonight, and I'll apologize again for last week, but it was just kind of an impossibility to get it done with the situations that I have here at home from time to time. Sometimes it's not bad. Sometimes it kind of gets rough. But remember, send prayer and continue to hold us up to the Lord that we might do His will and what we had promised Him we would do way back years ago. And if it be possible, we're certainly going to uphold that as long as we can. So thank you again for your time that God has provided us together. And we just love all of you. Ask you to remember us. Turn it back over to Brother Ronnie.